The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. In our last episode of The Force Field, we talked with Pat Palmer, an IT service provider in Iowa. We learned how current economic conditions are affecting his computer business, and he told us how he thinks a downturn in the economy will affect his company in the months and years to come. This week, we will ask a provider in another area of the country to weigh in on the situation and find out where he thinks the industry is headed. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. IBM announced production of a new ThinkPad notebook by Lenovo with dual LCD displays early this month. The new ThinkPad W700DS mobile workstation, which features a choice of Intel Core 2 Duo, Core 2 Quad, and Core 2 Extreme processors, includes two LCD displays as well. One a 17-inch WUXGA display, and the second a 10.6-inch WXGA display, which apparently slides out from behind the primary display. The second display has a white LED backlight and 768 by 1280 resolution. Other features include NVIDIA Quadro Express graphics technology, an onboard digitizer and pen, RAID support, and an integrated camera. The W700DS also has a separate numeric keypad in addition to the standard keyboard. The ThinkPad W700DS is due for release in January and will cost between $3,000 and $4,000. From time to time, I hear service providers ask where they can find sample templates and forms for use in their IT business. While you can find a document here and there to customize and use, what would be better is to find an entire collection of such forms in one easy-to-manage compilation. Well, Bryce Whitty has done just that, and it's available now. The Computer Business Kit is a collection of sample business forms and documents that are needed in the computer business. It contains maintenance contract samples, work order samples, engagement forms, and more. I have the kit, and I think Bryce and the good folks at TechNibble did an excellent job of putting this together. Whether you're just starting up your own computer business or you've been doing it for years, the Computer Business Kit can help make the daily management of your business a little easier. The Computer Business Kit is priced at $49 and can be purchased at technibble.com. However, we are going to give one away to one lucky listener right here on the Force Field podcast. All you have to do is send me an email with the number and the name of the Force Field episode, which featured Bryce Whitty and TechNibble on the show. Place the words TechNibble contest in the subject line, and email your answer to me at comments@theforcefield.net by January 30th, 2009. All correct entries will be placed in a drawing to be held January 31st, and the name of the winner will be announced on the show. Don't wait until the deadline. Here is your chance to win the Computer Business Kit free. Get your entries in now. Microsoft has given Windows XP another reprieve. The software giant announced December 22nd that it would extend sales of Windows XP until May 30, 2009. The popular operating system was scheduled to be removed from distribution to system builders January 31st, However, according to a Computer World article by Greg Kaiser dated December 22nd, Redmond decided to extend the deadline yet again. This is good news for system builders who have been concerned about availability of Windows XP after the January 31st deadline. Sales of Windows Vista have been slow compared to XP, and of those new computers sold with Vista, many of them are downgraded to Windows XP either during or after purchase. In fact, according to Computer World, market share of Windows XP is 3 times greater than Vista, a fact that Microsoft can no longer deny or ignore. Microsoft continues to pour millions into marketing Vista in an attempt to jumpstart sales before the launch of Windows 7, due for release sometime within the next year or so. That's money that could have been spent fixing it instead. Had the first or second service pack been a complete rework of Vista, perhaps they could have turned sales around. Instead, they spent millions on Seinfeld ads about nothing and psychological experiments with marketing on a focus group and then the public called Mojave, which was, in my opinion, both demeaning and insulting to consumers. Sure, portray your customers as stupid, gullible, and easy to fool. That'll sell a lot of product. Now they're planning to release Windows 7 into beta, in preparation for a possible release in late 2009 or early 2010. With Vista, now considered the Edsel of operating systems, down for the count, the only thing they have left as a lead-in is Windows XP. As a system builder, I was initially concerned about future sales deadlines and availability of XP for my customers after the launch of Windows Vista a couple of years ago. Not anymore. Unless sales of Vista suddenly spike, I think they'll keep Windows XP alive with as many reprieves as necessary to carry it to the launch of Windows 7, whenever that may be. Considering the alternative, they really don't have much choice. And that's the news in the force field. I am very particular about what goes in the force field, and I only promote products and services that I either use myself or would use if I needed them. This week I would like to introduce you to a new sponsor who I've been using myself for reliable web hosting to keep the force field online 24/7. GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Here's the best part. As a listener of the Force Field, enter the code BLU101 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. You want reliable web hosting at a great price? Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see site for details. That's GoDaddy.com. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698. Or through Skype at Savoy Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field Podcast Episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. There's a lot of speculation as to how current economic conditions will affect the IT industry in the coming months and years. While the government and the mainstream media predict gloom and doom, some IT industry analysts seem to have a positive outlook for at least a few tech-related businesses. In our last episode, we talked with Pat Palmer, heard how his business is doing well in spite of the economy, and how he expects this trend to continue in the months and years to come. This week, we'll talk with Chris Crispell, a computer consultant in Oregon, and ask him where he thinks his business is headed. Will he agree with Pat, or will he have a different story with a different point of view? We'll find out as we continue with part 2 of our 4-part series on the state of the IT industry. And we're speaking to Chris. Chris, welcome to the Force Field.
Hello.
How are you doing today, Chris?
Doing well. It's early here. Well, not that early, but...
You're on the West Coast, right?
Yes.
Let's see, you're in Oregon, correct?
Yeah, Portland, Oregon.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your company, Chris.
Well, I'm an individual IT consultant. I've worked for about 12 years just doing IT work. I have several hundred home clients, and recently within the last probably about 5-6 years, I have picked up several businesses, and so I've spread myself around doing that, and yeah, just been good.
You're just doing that? Are you working with any nationals as well?
No, I'm just all independent. I didn't really think I was going to be doing this for that long, and I just kind of fell into it. I just kept getting one client after another, after another, after another, and it's just all been through word of mouth. So I just built up so many that just keeps me busy constantly now.
And you're finding that's supporting you pretty well then?
Yeah, since my overhead is very low, I don't have a shop to run, so that's a big cost cut right there. And I don't really do any advertising, so it started out really slow because I didn't think I'd be doing this, but now I am.
You're working primarily out of your house. Are you going out on site, or do you do any remote support as well?
I do a combination of both. Mainly I do on-site, so I travel to them, and that seems to be very helpful for them. They don't have to bring their computer to a place, and it can just get more personable and stuff like that. But I do use remote techniques when the job, requires that. If it's something like a program setting or maybe even a little tutoring, like, hey, I can't remember how you did this. Can you show me? So...
Well, Chris, as you know, we've been discussing the current economy and its possible effects on the IT industry in the years to come and how it can impact our businesses. And we've been also talking about different ways to ride out the current economic crisis and what we can do to maybe diversify a little bit and maybe turn a bad thing into a good thing. And it's not something that... Everybody thinks, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to try something new. This is a matter of survival, really. What are you doing to prepare yourself for, say, the months to come? Are you pretty much sticking with what you're doing now, or do you have any ideas for maybe diversifying a little bit?
Well, the nice thing is I've kind of just stumbled in this diversification with having so many home clients. And then a handful of businesses, it really keeps me busy. The home clients they need help. And everyone has a computer, sometimes multiple ones in the house. And there's all those bad things out there, malware, viruses and stuff, and just things breaking, upgrades and stuff like that. So that just keeps me busy. And then the businesses that I have are small businesses. So they don't need a full-time IT person to come in. Mm-hmm. And I provide them solutions and cost, and I'm not on contract with them, so I just go when I'm needed there, and that's it keeps me plenty busy. And I'm pretty low on as far as their costs are concerned on the whole scheme of things, so I make it a good value for them. And plus, I've just integrated myself so far in the businesses that getting someone else in there is going to be very difficult.
Now, as far as the home users versus the business users, which do you find more profitable at the moment?
Oh, the businesses, for sure. They always need tasks done and just normal backups, and they need solutions, and that's really what I give them. And the one thing about the home users is I have so many over the past 10, 12 years that I only hear from maybe, certain ones of them once a year, maybe once every 2 years, because they only need the service that much. So
you say you've been doing pretty well this year. According to recent news reports, they've just announced that, well, we are officially in a recession now. And, of course, some industry analysts say, well, you know, we've been in a recession for the last year since last December. It just really hasn't hit home until, you know, the recent events with the housing crisis and the stock markets and the bank failures. During the last few months, have you seen a change, you know, in the amount of business that you're doing? Have you seen any impact from it during the last 3-4 months?
Ironically, no. I've just been gaining. The only thing I can say is that when big purchases are made, they take a little more time to think about them. And I'm usually consulted about the purchases. But other than that, no, not really.
You're saying that there's actually a little gain there?
Yeah, just because I just keep getting more and more referrals. So I think that's just, you know, getting more clients. As far as the businesses, they haven't really cut back because I'm not that big of an expense for them anyway. Mm-hmm. And they need to have the infrastructure in place to make things go.
Sure, sure. Well, given the current economic climate and what the financial forecast seems to be in the coming year or two, how do you think it'll impact you? I mean, do you think you will continue to grow, or do you think your revenue will decrease, or where do you think your company will be in the next year or two?
Well, I hope to be to increase it as everyone does. I think I'm actually going to do better next year. I really can't project that. The businesses aren't going to change just because they're a bunch of different businesses, so it's not all in the same category. I have anywhere from fabrication to HR that I work with. So I don't foresee that really changing. And if so, I provide great value, so I'm probably going to even get another one or two. And then the home users, that might drop off a little bit, but every time I think that, I always get calls at least probably once a week from someone new that's, hey, I've got, you know, my friend referred me to you, and can you help me?
What factors do you think would be involved if the home users would drop off a bit? If you do see a decrease in the home market, what do you think that would be attributed to?
That's a tough one. I don't know. Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Something makes you go,
Yeah. Just because they always break their stuff. I can't really say. The only thing I can think of is if they didn't have a job at home and they needed to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just couldn't afford me. But I do some charity work for people, or I do payment plans. And, you know, I just like to help people. I think that's more than anything. I would say that if they lost their job and were a real economic, they had a big problem with that, you know, just couldn't afford me or anything.
The reason I ask this, because it brings up an interesting point of discussion about, well, the way people consider what is a luxury and what is a necessity. You know, about 10 years ago, computers were considered more of a luxury, and today, in the home, I mean, we have, what, 2, 3, 4, sometimes a whole, you know, a home network of computers. People rely on computers quite a bit for everything from communication to, of course, job hunting. And now that we have more people out of work, we may find more people relying on their computers to hunt for jobs over the internet, you know, using companies like Dice and CareerBuilder.com, things like that, getting their resumes out there, and doing, of course, using social networks to network with other people looking for jobs. And it would seem to me that, you know, if their computer breaks down, they might consider that a very necessary expense, even though they may be in dire straits financially.
Yeah, that's exactly what I see.
Now, I was going to say, what is your take on that?
You know, well, you hit the nail right on the head. The computer is becoming basically like a utility almost, to where it's a needed. You pointed out so many things that it's used for, and it's just not used for entertainment necessarily anymore. You have the internet, obviously, with all the information on it, but just job hunting and so much other stuff. It's a very big tool, and that's when I get called. Usually, the most by my home users is when that tool breaks, and a lot of times they're lost.
Yeah. I found, when I get a call, it's a frantic call saying, my computer's down, I can't access my email, so I can't, I'm waiting for this job opportunity, and I'm waiting to hear back from this company that I submitted a resume to, and I'm just waiting for that email, and without the email, I'm just dead in the water.
Exactly, and it's the same thing as, your phone went down, or a cell phone. It's just a very big part of our lives now, and I don't foresee that dipping down anytime soon. And it would be hard to justify not getting your computer fixed, especially when you're looking for a job. And as techs, I think we need to see that and know that some people are going to have a harder time affording that, and we just got to work around that. And that's one thing I try to do, because I know everyone falls on hard times, and most people are honest and stuff, and they'll try to pay you back. And I tell you, a little goodwill like that goes a long way as far as getting referrals and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. People remember that, too. If they're in a tough situation, and now, of course, you're always going to have those people that will take advantage of a situation, but for the most part, I believe that people generally are good, and they remember that. And, when you help them out in a tough time, they generally, later on down the road, they pay it back, or they pay it forward.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And funny thing is I've helped out so many home clients, but the home clients ultimately to the business people. So that's where I got a lot of my business places, just helping out the home people. They go to work, their IT is down, or they're looking for a change, and they're like, hey, we know this guy. He's reasonably priced, and he does good work, and I just interview for him, and sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't.
So really, as far as we're concerned, and this is very interesting, because in 2001, as you know, in 9/11, the IT industry suffered a major loss as far as business was concerned. Things went down quickly for IT, and it was a while. It was a couple of years before things turned around and things came back up. It seems that this time around, and I think some people expected it to happen again, but this time around it looks like, it seems that the opposite is happening. And it's very interesting, and I wonder if maybe it's because of the fact that we have become so dependent on the technology during the last 8 years that we just simply can't do without it.
Yeah, exactly. Once again, bringing back the point of it's in everybody's lives, and it's very important. And when people are without it, they feel lost. Yeah.
So you think that it'll probably improve, and not just for the businesses, but for the home users as well. There's a pretty good chance that it will continue to be steady and may even pick up here in the next year or two.
I think that. I'm in a unique position. The guys that are running the shops out there, they might be hard hit first, just because they have a ton load of overhead. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't know how they're going to do. We used to have a lot of little computer shops out here, and a lot of them have closed up, and there's only a handful now. And it seems like once a year one of those guys go out, but then one pops up. So those guys are going to be, I think they're going to be a little tougher. And I don't want to say this because I don't have a lot of experience with this, but from what I'm hearing as far as IT with the big enterprise IT, mm-hmm. Guys that have a lot of people on staff, they're going to be hit hard too. Yeah. And but they have to support, 10,000 clients or something like that. And so they're obviously going to get cuts. But if you can diversify yourself and invest in yourself as far as just learning more, I think it just makes yourself more valuable. One thing I can say about myself, and which has really helped out, is I don't stop learning in IT because I can't. And I know it's a cliche, everybody says that, but I find this stuff fascinating, and I just am constantly teaching myself new skills. And I, the only problem, though, as I would say, is I don't focus on one. So I'm good at a lot of things and master of none. but just learn as much as you can, and I think it will show through.
Do you think that the downside to this, for those of us who are the little guys operating on the front lines, that with all of the cuts in the enterprise IT budgets and the layoffs going on right now, that a lot of those professionals will find themselves doing what a lot of us are doing individually, doing the break-fix work, the consulting, the work as independent contractors? Do you think that might present a larger pool of individual independent contractors in the market and heavier competition in the next couple of years?
You know, I've thought of that, actually. And I would say yes, just on the, I mean, it just makes sense. So that might be hard getting newer clients, but there is just so many clients out there. And one thing I've also learned is once people pick whoever they want to work on, let's say their car or computer or something personal like that, they usually stick with them and they recommend that person to their friends. And, you know, every once in a while I'll hear one of these stories from one of my clients saying, hey, you know, I got this computer person you may want to take a look at. And then the other person says, oh, you know, I have this computer person. And, you know, they just leave it at that. And I think there's plenty to go around, and we just have to, you know, keep our costs in check, and we may have to buckle down a little bit, but I think that this is just, it's just a cycle. I mean, eventually we're going to be out of this and everything's going to go back to normal again, and then we'll be busy again. But I can say one thing, probably computer sales are never going to drop. They're just going to get more and more.
Well, I like your optimistic attitude towards this, and I certainly hope that you are correct. Because if not, we're in some big trouble. But I think that it's going to be an interesting year, no doubt. You know, the next year or two are going to be very interesting years for our business. And if we can ride out the storm, I think we'll all be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that it will all turn around. Who knows how long it's going to be for that, but just keep learning and be a good value to everyone. You know, don't be overpriced. Don't be underpriced. Make them feel like they got something from you, and it will all work out.
Under promise and over deliver.
There you go.
There you go. Well, Chris, thanks a lot for your time on the Force Field today. Really appreciate it. And, you have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Yep, bye. In our next episode, we'll continue our discussion and talk with a service provider who entered a different market to keep his business profitable and find out how he is doing while riding out the economic storm in the cloud in part 3 of our 4-part series on the state of the IT industry. Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May The Force Field be with you.